This is Alive with Joseph.
Thank you so very much. The Lord will bless you. Welcome to the house of God. Welcome to this service. Hallelujah. Are you ready for what the Lord will do this morning? So let's get into where we left it off last week. We've been dealing with prepare for the unusual. Prepare for the unusual. So in this month of the spectacular, you and I need to prepare ourselves for the unusual that God wants to do in our lives. And we established quite a couple of things which I do not have the time and the luxury to go back to, but I'm just going to pick it up from where we left it off. We started dealing with discernment. We discovered that you and I cannot come into the unusual if we are not discerning, or if we do not develop the gift of discernment that the Holy Spirit has put on the inside of us. I've come to discover that most people, they are unable to maximize seasons in their lives because they are bankrupt of discernment. The reason why many cannot maximize seasons in their life is because of the bankruptcy of discernment. So we discover that most people are not able to maximize seasons in their lives because they are bankrupt of discernment. So therefore, what is discernment? Discernment, we establish, is the faculty of spiritual perception. Discernment is you training your organs your organs to be able to perceive the impulses of the spirit. We also discover that discernment is the ability to know what God is doing and to know what the devil is also doing. Now it brings us to our key scripture for this journey, which is Acts chapter 27 from verse 9 to 12. I read, it says, "Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous because by now it was after the day of atonement. So Paul warned them, 'Men, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo and to our own lives also.' But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and of the owner of the ship. Since the harbor was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbor in Crete. Some translation will say it will call it Clauda. So facing both southwest and northwest. So discernment is the ability to know what God is doing and to know what the devil is also doing. There is no believer that can excel consistently if they are dull of discernment. No believer can excel consistently if that believer is dull of discernment. The world we live in is too spiritual for you to be bankrupt of discernment. The world we live in is too spiritual for anyone to be bankrupt of discernment. And the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. But the key word there is in the last time, the Spirit clearly says this. That is the key word I'm looking for there. That is, the Spirit clearly says, King James will say, it says, it speaks expressly. The Spirit clearly says, that's what I'm looking for there. Many believers have not trained their discernment to be able to recognize the promptings of the Spirit. They have not been able to train their discernment to be able to hear what the Spirit is clearly saying. They are not able to hear what the Spirit is clearly saying. And in the days we live in a very highly spiritual world. If you do not train the organs of your life, of your senses, to be able to recognize the promptings of the Spirit, you will not be able to gain the kind of victory and advantage that you are supposed to get. Hear this, friends. The voice of God is not only the audible voice of God. The voice of God is also every spiritual mechanism that can be used by God to communicate His will and His intentions to you as a believer. The voice of God is not only audible voice, but every spiritual mechanism that God can use to communicate His will and His intentions to you. That is also known as the voice of God. And it takes discernment to be able to make quality decisions as a believer. It takes discernment for you to be able to know what is really good and what is really evil. When it comes to the realms of the spirit, good can look like evil. Evil can look like good. When it comes to spiritual things, if a believer is not discerning, you can be confused, because in spiritual things, good can look like evil and evil can look like good. Even the Bible tells us that the devil masquerades himself like an angel of light. So it will take discernment for you to be able to know when Satan is masquerading himself or disguising himself as the angel of light. And I pray for you today, may the organs of your spirit wake up in the name of Jesus. I pray for you today as your amen motunda, receive grace to develop discernment in the name of Jesus. May you not be bankrupt of discernment in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. Now, our text in the book of Acts chapter 27 is an incredible example that teaches you and I that life without a proper utilization of discernment will lead to a shipwreck. Life without the proper utilization of discernment will lead to a shipwreck. I pray for you again. Your destiny will not shipwreck in the name of Jesus. In the remaining days of this year, you will not experience any form of shipwreck in the name of Jesus. So our story there exposes us to a man, a preacher, an apostle of Jesus Christ named Paul, who was being transported to Rome to go stand trial against false accusations and charges that had been leveled against him by the religious leaders of his days. They were moving him, you know, they actually were moving those prisoners like cargoes. They moved him and put him in this ship so that he can go stand trial. Now, as they were traveling, they temporarily docked in a small island called Crete or Clauda because of the bad weather. The weather got so bad that they decided to dock there so that they can stay some time there. Now, eventually, they stayed in that place for 3 days. And after 3 days, they decided to continue their journey to Rome. And the Apostle Paul now tells them this from verse 9 to 10. Now, when much time was spent and when sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, "Sirs, I perceive," take note of that, "I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the laden and sheep, but also of our lives." Another translation puts it this way. NIV puts verse 10 this way. He said, "Man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous." I pray for you. May you escape disaster in the name of Jesus. I declare this month of November, you will escape disaster in the name of Jesus. He said, "I perceive that our voyage is going to be disastrous and is going to bring great loss to the ship, to the cargoes, and also to our own lives." Now, he said, "I perceive something dangerous is about to happen." So let's do some work here. If you know the Apostle Paul very well, and you understand the history of the Apostle Paul and the history of scriptures, you will think that maybe him saying this, he was paranoid. You will think that he was speaking from a place of paranoia. Why? Because he himself told us that he had shipwreck 3 times. So you can think that based on the fact that this man had shipwreck 3 times, now anytime he's in the ship, he just thinks that there will be a shipwreck. The Bible actually tells us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 25, Paul said, "3 times I was beaten with rods, once I was pelted with stones, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea." You can see this man. So he has experienced shipwreck consistently. So now you could be wondering that is this paranoia that is happening to Paul, you know, as a result of previous shipwreck, or is it truly a divine warning? When you look at that script, you could be asking, is it because this man had a different series of shipwreck and as a result he was paranoid, or could it actually be it's a divine warning? But here, the Apostle Paul was not speaking because he was dealing with a paranoia from the past shipwrecks. He was speaking because he was having an unexplainable prompting about the future. He was having a prompting about the future. He was having an unexplainable prompting in the spirit about the future. So he was not speaking here because he had 3 times shipwreck and now he was afraid that he was about to experience the 4th one. He was speaking here because he was being led by the spirit, or there was a prompting in the spirit on things that is about to happen. So let me quickly show you the power of discernment. What power does discernment have? What power does discernment have? Number one, discernment gives you prophetic insight into potential problems and challenges so that you can prepare when others are panicking. It gives you prophetic insight into potential problems and challenges so that you can prepare when others are panicking. Promptings of the Spirit moves you to action. Paranoia creates fear, and fear paralyzes you. I repeat, promptings of the Spirit moves you to action. Paranoia creates fear, and fear will end up paralyzing you. Paranoia paralyzes. Wise promptings of the Spirit pushes you into action. When there is a prompting by the Holy Ghost, which is discernment, the purpose of that revelation is for you not to panic emotionally, but for you to prepare practically. The purpose of that revelation is for you to prepare practically. The purpose is not for you to panic emotionally. The purpose is for you to prepare practically. It's for you to prepare practically. And we could see that clearly in the thing that happened with the Apostle Paul and the men. He said to them, listen, there is a problem coming. Now, let's not go further. Let's stay here. So he was, based on that revelation, he was asking them, let's prepare, let's stay here. But they ignored his instruction. I pray for you. May you not ignore the promptings of the Spirit in this season. In the name of Jesus. I say, may you not ignore in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So the Apostle Paul began to explain to them that, you know, I want, based on what I'm perceiving, let's prepare. Now hear this. God is not giving insight about the future so that, you know, that he's not giving you insight about the future that will not go well in order to mess you up emotionally. The reason God is allowing you, you know, allowing you to insight into the potential problem of the future is so that he can get you ready. So that he can get you ready to be able to overcome it. He is not allowing you to gain prophetic insight into the future so that he can mess you up emotionally. The reason he's allowing you into gaining access, insight into potential problems in the future is to be able to get you ready so that you are ready and prepared to overcome. So Paul said to them, gentlemen, we don't need to leave. We don't need to leave. We don't need to leave this place. They said to him, you know, this place is not good enough for us to stay for winter. So we're not going to listen to you, Paul. Don't leave. They said, no, we will leave. The Bible said that the centurion listened to the owner of the sheep and to the captain, and majority concluded, let's go, because the sheep was not conducive for winter. So they ignored the prompting of the Spirit through the Apostle Paul. And again, the challenge in this situation could have been, number one, Paul was a prisoner. Who listens to a prisoner? No prison warder will listen to a prisoner. Are you following me now? So could it be that because he was a prisoner, they were not willing to listen to him? They felt that this guy is planning a prison break. let's not listen to this man. He's asking us to stay here because he's planning on how to break out of the prison. So could it be that they did not listen to him because he was a prisoner? Number two, could it be that they did not listen to him because he was a tent maker, not a sailor? The Apostle Paul was a tent maker, not a sailor. Number three, they were not listening to him because he was talking to sailors. He was talking to the professionals about what they are good at. So he is articulating his opinion to people who are supposedly experts in that area. Sometimes the prompting of the Spirit goes beyond the opinions of the experts. Sometimes the promptings of the Spirit has nothing to do with you being an expert in that field. And the reason why many have missed the promptings of the Spirit is because the expert says otherwise and they follow the instructions of the expert. How many of you remember the king that Elisha, remember when Elisha came by the prompting of the Spirit and said, by this time tomorrow, there will be surplus in the land. And the economic minister or minister of finance that the king was leaning on looked at Elisha and said to him, you must be a madman. Based on our economic analysis that leads to paralysis, there is no way we can come out of this. The economy is too tight. We can't come out of this. There is no way. The US dollar is skyrocketing. Things are not working well. And you're telling me that by this time, poverty will end in the land. He said, it's not possible. And the prophet looked at him and said, I'm not speaking based on the economic analysis. I'm speaking by the Spirit. I don't know who you are. They have said it's not possible, and it looks like you're washing your neck. I came here today by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the next 30 days, what you have not been able to get in the last 10 months, you will get it in the name of Jesus. I say you will get it in the name of Jesus. By the prompting of the Spirit, I prophesy spectacular things will happen to you in the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise if you believe that this morning. And by the Spirit he spoke, and it did happen. It did happen. So these men have more experience than the Apostle Paul. They have more exposure than the Apostle Paul. They have more education in that area than him. And they have more ability than him in that area. Now, the problem of this man was that they have everything else except discernment. They have everything else except discernment. Can I ask you this morning, do you have everything else except discernment? Do you have you have all the MBBHE, WWE, WWF, you have every W and all the numbers. You have packed them like thermometer, but yet you lack discernment. There is a place certificate can bring you, my friend, in case you don't know. There are levels in the journey of life that certificate can bring you. Only the arm of the Spirit can bring you there. Hallelujah. Give the Lord your praise one more time. So these men were limited by the limitations of what their five senses could tell them. They saw an opportunity with their five senses to get out of that small island before winter. So what their five senses, hear me carefully, friends, what their five senses saw as an opportunity, Paul's discernment saw it as a trap. Their five senses saw it as an opportunity. The discernment of Paul saw it as a trap. Hear this. Believers who only operate with their five senses, they can't be able to tell the difference between an opportunity and a trap. And that's why many believers have walked into a trap. Because with their five senses, they see an opportunity. And yet, it's actually a trap disguised as opportunity. The five senses will look at it and say it's opportunity. The data, the graphs and everything, the economic analysis, the exposure, and say this is definitely God. But the discernment will say, don't just look at the opportunity, the data, the graph and the economic analysis. This might actually be a trap. Discernment gave the Apostle Paul access to the ultimate expression of intelligence. Discernment is you being influenced by the one who is expert in all things. That's discernment. Hallelujah. In the book of Luke chapter 5, the Bible tells us that Jesus, who was a carpenter, shows up and tells Peter, who is a fisherman, to launch his net out into the deep. Which was also the wrong time or the wrong time of the day to fish. Peter tells Jesus, we have already been fishing all night and have not caught anything. Night is the best time to fish, not day. I have been fishing in the same pond all night. And right now, you know, I have caught nothing. I have fished all night, the right time, and I have caught nothing. And Jesus, you are a carpenter, not a fisherman. So here, a carpenter is telling a fisherman how to fish. But the fisherman listens. May you listen to the fisherman. You didn't say amen. May you listen to the fisherman that God sends to your destiny. And the fisherman listening to the carpenter. I can imagine this generation. How can you tell me what I studied for? Hey. The fisherman listening to the carpenter. It doesn't make sense. And hear his words. Simon replied, Master, we worked hard all night to the point of exhaustion. I'm reading the Amplified Translation. AMP. Luke 5:5-7. And caught nothing in our nets. But as your word, I will do as you say and lower the net again. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. And their nets were at the point of breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came, filled both of the boats with fish so that they began to sink. I pray for you. As you follow the promptings of the Spirit, may you receive a boat sinking testimony in the name of Jesus. I say, may you receive a boat sinking breakthrough in the name of Jesus. May you receive a boat sinking testimony in the name of Jesus. So Peter caught so much fish that he needed the assistance of his colleagues to manage the great catch. And here, his friends also had some overflow because of their association with him. There are people who get blessed because they associate with you. There are people who get blessed because they associate with you. There are people whose lives are changed because they associate with you. There are people you associate with by the grace and the power and the favor and the mercy of God upon their life. You are automatically implicated for testimony. And I know Alive Church is one of such places. For the fact that you are associated to this house, I pray for you. Your testimony will be spectacular. In the name of Jesus. I say your favor will be spectacular. In the name of Jesus. Receive the blessing by association. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord your praise this morning. Hallelujah. So discernment is the ultimate expression of intelligence. Paul said, I perceive. He didn't say, I had a vision. He didn't say, I had a dream. He didn't say, God told me. He said, I perceive. When you study the Bible very well, I mentioned this earlier, there were times when God spoke to the Apostle Paul audibly. There were times where God had, Paul had a vision and dreams. But what I want you to see here is that the Apostle Paul didn't lock God up into one method of influencing him. And I've come to discover that the problem of some believers is they have locked God up into one method of influencing them. Hear this, God promises to influence us, but he did not imprison himself to influencing you and I in a specific way. He didn't. There are people where they cannot believe it's God saying it until it's a prophecy. They cannot believe it is God speaking to them until it's a prophecy. You and I have to be open to the multiplicity of the ways God chooses to use to influence us. As I said earlier, the voice of God is not limited to his audible voice. The voice of God is the spiritual mechanism that God uses to reach us. He can choose to use any mechanism to reach us. And sometimes the voice of God is not audible voice. Sometimes it is not a dream. Sometimes the way God influences you is not a vision. Sometimes it is not a prophecy. Sometimes it is what the Apostle Paul said, perception. He said, I perceive. And this is one of the ways discernment works. It works through your intuition. Hear this, friends. Your intuition has always been there, even before you got born again. I hope you know. That's why they will say, women, they are powerful intuition. A woman can see danger ahead that the husband cannot see. She's not born again. But what happens now is when you get born again, you now decide if you're going to allow God influence that intuition or not. When you get born again, you now allow God to influence it. If you allow the pain of your past to influence your intuition or your perception, you will be sensing and perceiving what is not real. There are many people, what is influencing their intuition is the pain of the past. When you get born again, you decide what influences your intuition. There are some people who have been hurt so bad by people. Now, when they see, people from afar, they perceive. When they see people gather together and they are talking and they are laughing and they are passing, they just perceive they are talking about me. My friend, they are not talking about you. It's just that you have been hurt so badly by people. Now, your intuition is open, but open in the wrong direction. Hallelujah. And God wants to influence us so that we can be properly, you know, managed and properly come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So everything you are perceiving sometimes may not be God. So particularly when you are not submitted to the will of God, when you are not submitted to the word of God, when you are not submitted to prayer, some things you're perceiving sometimes may not be God. Understand that perception is intuition, and your intuition is not God, but you can make a decision to submit it to the influence of God. You can submit it to the influence of God. You say, God, I give you permission to influence my perception and my intuition. Go with me to the book of 1 Kings quickly. Let me show you something there. 1 Kings quickly. He said, the Lord said, verse 19 to 11 to 12, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Listen to this carefully. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. Hey, fire. This surely must be the Lord. Isn't that God appeared to Moses by a burning bush? This is surely the Lord. Elijah caught fire and fire came down. This is surely the Lord. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. That was where God was. A gentle whisper. Have you been missing the gentle whispers of God? Because you're expecting the mountain to scatter for you to know it is God. Have you been missing the whisper, the gentle whispers of God? Because you're expecting, you know, the earthquake. Paul and Silas prayed and they sang and there was earthquake in the place. Until there's an earthquake, God is not there. My friend, if God brings earthquake now, your house will collapse. So he's giving you a gentle whisper. In fact, some of you right now, if you see an earthquake, will you stand? Answer me now. Let's be honest. Will you stand? You will run. You will take cover. You will call 911. So God will not use that means to reach you. Because if he comes by earthquake, there will be confusion. Gentle whisper. He said, I heard a gentle whisper. God doesn't always thunder. Sometimes God whispers. Give this God praise this morning. Give this God praise this morning. This man ignored Paul's prompting and started sailing. And the Bible said in verse 13, when a gentle south wind began to blow, they saw their opportunity. So they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. That soft wind from the south looked like it was a signal to go ahead, and yet it was a warning. May you not miss a warning and think it's a signal to go, in the name of Jesus. I say, may you not see a warning and think it's a signal for you to proceed, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you in this month of November. May you not miss a warning and you consider it to be a signal to move, in the name of Jesus. They saw that gentle wind. They thought it was a signal. And the Bible says, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. But they didn't know it was a warning. It started with soft wind. Then all of a sudden, the Bible said that the strong wind came and started beating against the boat. And the boat, the ship, began to fall apart. To the point where on the third day, they were managing this for 3 days. On the third day, they started throwing the goods into the sea. They started throwing the goods into the sea. Every time a believer ignores the promptings of the Spirit, there is bound to be losses. There is bound to be losses. You throw your gains away. They started throwing their gains away. I pray for you today. May God deliver you from loss in the name of Jesus. May God deliver you from losses in the name of Jesus. Then the Apostle Paul walked up to them and I believe he said, I hate to say this, but I told you. But I told you. And after they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them, verse 21, and said, man, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. In that same situation, instead of Paul condemning them, he still brought a word of comfort, verse 22 to 24. Now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the sheep will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the Lord came to angel of the of God to whom I be, an angel of the God to whom I belong, whom I serve, stood beside me and said, did you see two different things, ways that God spoke to him? Number one, he said, I perceive. The second time he was bringing a word of comfort, he said, the angel of the Lord came and stood by me and said to me. Can you see? Within that short space of time, you could see how God transitioned. This time around, God, he didn't come by perception. God knew that if I come by perception, he might completely not believe. So the angel came and stood by him and said, there will not be any loss. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. That is, the reason why this they will not die is because they are associated to you. And again, you must appear before Caesar. Nothing will stop you from appearing before Caesar. I don't know who you are. I pray for you in this season. Because of association, may the lives of those around you be preserved in the name of Jesus. May the lives of your household be preserved in the name of Jesus. Now, this takes us to point number two. Number two, discernment will help you receive a word, a now word, that will help you fix the current problem that came as a result of ignoring past instructions. Discernment will help you come out of current battles that came as a result of ignoring past instructions. Mercy will always show up in the midst of disobedience. So mercy shows up in form of another word and that shows you how to fix a problem you caused by ignoring and disobeying instruction. I don't know who it is. You have disobeyed all kinds of instructions and it looks like you're having a shipwreck. I pray for you. Let the mercy of God prevail over you in the name of Jesus. I say receive the mercy of God in the name of Jesus. Receive the mercy of God in the name of Jesus. It's a powerful picture. Verse 22 to 24 is a powerful picture of the mercy of God. Listen, you are human enough to mess up the situation. But God is God enough to bring you out of it. And he's bringing you out in the name of Jesus. You are human enough to mess it up. But the mercy of God brings you out in the name of Jesus. Listen, that is the powerful picture of the mercy of God. You got yourself into it, but God helps you to come out of it. His mercy brings you out. His mercy brings you out. His mercy brings you out. When Jonah missed it, the mercy of God came and rescued him. In the book of Jonah chapter 3 verse 1. Then the man decided to jump. They decided to jump out of the ship. Then Paul tells them this. Verse 29 to 31. Fearing that we should be dashed against the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight in an attempt to escape from the ship. The sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors. You see, they wanted to run away and leave Paul there. Look at the Bible. They wanted to run away. They were trying to release the lifeboat so that they can use the lifeboat to escape. The Bible said that the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul came to them and said to the centurion, behave yourself. I know what you're about to do. You are about to escape, but if you try it, you will die. Stay inside. The guarantee you have is to stay inside the boat. Unless this man stay with the sheep, you cannot be saved. Brings me to number three. Discernment will enable you to identify what options you no longer need to explore. Discernment will help you identify what options you no longer need to explore. Discernment helps you cut voices that are not helping you. Many of you right now, you have too many options. You have too many options. And they have become a weapon formed against you. Discernment helps you to cut the lifeboat. It helps you to stay in the ship because safety is in the ship. So God is saying, I will get you to the place of safety. But the only way I will get you if you stay. Stay in the ship. Stay in the ship. I don't know who is about to jump out of the ship. The Spirit of the Lord will have me tell you, stay in the ship. Stay in the sheep. Sometimes jumping out of the sheep is you bowing your knees to altars you shouldn't be bowing your knees to. Stay in the sheep. Sometimes jumping out of the sheep is you going to solicit for help in Egypt. Stay in the sheep. Sometimes jumping out of the sheep is you going to places you have no business going to. Stay in the sheep. Stay in the sheep. Not your neighbor. Tell them, stay in the sheep. Stay inside the sheep. Don't jump out. What you think is a lifeline might actually be a death sentence. Hallelujah. And I don't know who needs to hear this, but by the Spirit of the living God, I declare over you, God is bringing you out of it the way you are not expecting, in the name of Jesus. Finally, how can you develop your discernment? Number one, adjust your filters. Make sure the filter your perception and discernment have is to be the word of God. Adjust your filters. The written word of God, the logos. Make sure it is the written word of God, the logos. When you have a feeling, when you have an intuition, when you have a perception, do you have a filter to pass it through? Do you have a filter? Because the filter helps you see whether or not it is God. Do you have a filter? If you don't have your spiritual well filled with biblical truths, you will not have a filter to put your feelings through. Many of you right now, your well is not filled with biblical truths. So every time you are perceiving, you are always perceiving people wanting to do you evil. Can you ever perceive that there is a breakthrough coming? You always perceive there is one witch in your village looking for you. My friend, you are not the only one witches are looking for. In fact, it will shock you they are not looking for you. Because you have not made so much progress that they need to look for. Make so much progress that they need to look for. What are they? Are they coming to hinder the one who is already hindered? They hinder progress, they don't hinder hindrance. So you see someone who is not making progress, the witches are looking for you. They are looking for those who are making progress to hinder. You can't hinder something that is already hindered. So when you don't fix your filter, you don't fix it. So your well is not full with the truth of God's word. Every time you're always perceiving they are after me. You always two people are talking. They say they are talking about you. You just feel to you. You're feeling yourself right now. I'm telling you the truth. Talking about you. Filter. Adjust your filter. If you don't have your spiritual well filled with biblical truths, you will not have a filter to put your feelings through. And the Bible helps you familiarize yourself with the voice of your Heavenly Father. You get to hear what God sounds like every time you open the Bible. My friend, open the Bible. Buy yourself a Bible. Nobody studies with electronic Bible and prospers. I repeat, you cannot study with electronic Bible and prosper. You say, a Bible on my phone. My friend, buy a Bible. Open the book. Open the book. The only way you can adjust your filter is by the truth of God's word that is filled on the inside of you. So that when any feelings come, you pass it through scriptures. So that you can properly walk in discernment and not in suspicion. What some people are calling discernment is suspicion. Number two, audit your associates. Some of you have people in your life that can hang out with you, but you can't hear with them. I repeat. You have people you can hang out with, but you can't hear with. You can't hear with them. You can't bounce what you are hearing off them. Because they are not hearers themselves. So you can't bounce off what you're hearing off them. So you are trying to have a discernment conversation with someone who only operates with their five senses. It won't work. Audit your associates. Do you have people you can bounce off, you know, what you're hearing from God with? I hope you're getting something out of this. You cannot have spectacular things, unusual things happen for you if you do not understand it. Do you have people you can pass? Whatever you think you've heard, you can go to them. You know they are filled with the well of God's truth. That when you table it before them, they can say, no, this is what God is saying. No, they filter it for you. They say, no, I don't think that's what it actually means. This is what God is trying to, you know, explain to you and all of those things. Number three. Confront your trauma. Some of you cannot hear the promptings of God because your pain is too loud. Sometimes what some people are calling perception, what they are calling discernment, what they are calling intuition, is their pain screaming. Confront your trauma. Their pain is screaming. This is how you know if it is your pain screaming or not. You only discern what can hurt you. That's the only thing you discern. If you are not discerning opportunities, open doors, risks that God is calling you to take, then it is your pain that is screaming. So many of you, your pain is screaming. That's why you only discern what can hurt you. That's the only thing you discern. When I ask you now, let's audit what you have been discerning. Everything you have discerned is what is trying to hurt you. Everything. There was no time you have ever discerned opportunities God is sending your way. And you cannot become who God wants you to be like that. If all you are discerning is someone trying to hurt you, all you are discerning is something bad is about to happen, then that is not promptings. That is not discernment. That is your pain is screaming. That is trauma that is having you paranoid. And that's why I said when I started that, you know, could it be that, you know, when we look at Paul, we could have wanted to decide that, could it be because he had had 3 shipwrecks? As a result, he was paranoid. But we saw it was not paranoia. It was truly the Spirit. The things you are discerning, is it by the Spirit? Or is it your pain screaming? Is it your pain screaming? You cannot become the believer that God wants you to be if your discernment is not developed. I can say every other thing to you. If your discernment is not developed, you will not be able to maximize seasons. The reason why many believers have not been able to take advantage of seasons that God brings their way is because they cannot discern. I shared with you this last week. I said, so many years ago, 2010 to be precise, when Pastor Cordelia, she was working in FMB. She was, you know, a provincial manager with FMB. Human capital consultant. There were only 2 of them, 2 ladies, 2 black ladies that was in that position. And they closed their provincial office. It was a big post. They closed their provincial and they said, we want to move you people to Bank City in Johannesburg. Now, we want all of you to come. Then you will work in the CEO's office and all of those things. You know, by discernment, I knew this has nothing to do with God. I told her, they said, we need the answer by Monday. I said, you don't even need to answer them. Call them now. Tell them we go nowhere. The church was not big. I'm not telling maybe the church was a mega church like it is now. No, no. The church was still, we were still by the corner Excelsior. No, not even corner Excelsior. Was it? Yeah, it was corner Excelsior and Honor. You don't know the place. I must take all of you there. 1, 2 by 2. In fact, 1, 2, 1. The pulpit was like a casket. When we put the pulpit, it covers everywhere. And we knew. By discernment, we knew. We perceived God is not in this. It sounds good. It sounds big. It sounds, you're going from Polokwan. Polokwan is not even a city. Polokwan is a town. Glorified town. Joburg is a mega city. Joburg is considered one of the biggest cities in the continent. The richest square mile in Africa is in Joburg, Sandton City. And you discern to say you're not going to that place. That can only be God. And often, God speaks to you. I will not tell you that I heard an audible voice. My son, you people don't go. Don't go, don't go, don't go. Don't go, don't go, don't go. Hold on. No. There was nothing like that. I wouldn't say I saw a vision and God was showing us the future of the church. No, my friend. There was nothing. It was where two or three are gathered. Me, my wife, Zoe was still small, and five inconsistent people. But we knew by the promptings of the Spirit. And today, look at where we are. Look at where we are. We would not have been able to reach all of you if we had taken that journey. Probably ministry will have ended. Ministry will have ended. If we had a pain of poverty, we would have taken that journey looking for greener pastures. What have you been allowing control your discernment? Is your pain controlling your discernment? Or are you allowing God influence your intuition? Bow your hearts, everybody. I want you to submit your intuition to God this morning. The times we live in is very spiritual, and as a believer, it will be too risky if God is not the one influencing your intuition. If your spiritual perception or your spiritual, the organs of your spirit is not receiving from God. He wants to lead you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. One of the primary assignments of a shepherd is to lead. But he cannot lead you when you have not submitted your five senses to him. You have not submitted yourself to him. That's just the prayer I want you to pray. Lord, I submit my intuition. I submit everything to you. I'm done. Lord, I submit it to you.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.